We have been considering the identity of Jesus. And we have been considering in this church, in the regular and systematic preaching of the Christian doctrine, how important it is that we get that straight, the identity of Jesus Christ. And we've used as an entrance into the grand truth of the identity of Jesus the question that Jesus himself put to his disciples, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And we've considered the answer that Peter gave to that question when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and how Jesus blessed Peter with the knowledge that this had been revealed from heaven. This morning, as we continue really to investigate this wonderful identity of the matchless one, our Savior Jesus, I want to consider what might even be a more important question than what we say or who we say Jesus is. And it's this question: are we in Jesus? Are we in Jesus? And I say that's the most important question because I would contend with you that that's what matters, if anything matters, in this world. And that's what matters. And even though we might think that being in this world and being in among people is the main thing, and that's the tendency, you know, we can have. We're in a group that we're comfortable with, and this is the thing. We're in a good position at work, and this is the thing. We're in the in crowd here. Maybe the children on the playground are in the ones who are, and with the ones who are popular, and that's the thing. We have an in with people, and so we can advance in this world, and we think that's the thing. But of course, we know, if we know the Bible, if we know anything of Jesus, that being in Him is marvelously the most wonderful thing in all the world. Being in a living and vital connection with Jesus, that's everything. Having this relationship with Him and being a friend of Jesus, that's everything. What a friend we have in Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ Himself, our Savior, is speaking to that grand theme of being in Him in this marvelous parable, as it were, this teaching, this figurative, metaphorical teaching of Himself as a vine and of His people as branches who bear fruit in connection with the vine. It's a marvelous thing that Jesus is leading the disciples to discover anew, and to discover especially before He goes to the cross, that they might know that that's the thing that matters, being in Him as fruitful branches in connection with the living vine, the true and living vine. I want us, as we consider again the doctrines of the identity of Jesus, to enter into them in a very personal way as a congregation you may be visiting and hearing, to enter into these truths in a very personal way, the truth of the inness, as it were, of the fellowship of God through Jesus Christ. To do that, we would enter into a conversation. The conversation that Jesus was having at this time. This is the setting here in John 15. From John 13 through 17 or so, there's a marvelous conversation that's going on. Jesus is speaking to His disciples the night before He will die on the cross. And there's a very intimate gathering. And He gathers together with them at the upper room, and then on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane and so on, He's speaking with them. It's night time. But in the night, there's this brilliant light from heaven. The shepherd, the Jesus we know as the shepherd of the sheep, pastoring them, speaking of them, of things to come, of the Holy Spirit who would comfort them, though He goes away. Speaking of to them of the truth that they must stand for. Speaking to them of the place that He goes to prepare for them in John 14, which has been, this truth, a consolation to many who have lost loved ones. That Jesus goes, but when He goes to prepare heaven for all those who love Him. Well, at this point, he's still speaking to the disciples in John 15. And by the way, I would urge you, if you have some time on your hands this afternoon, to visit that wonderful, marvelous discourse of Jesus that night he was betrayed, John 13 through 17. And you'll note, too, at the end, how Jesus has a conversation with his Father in heaven. And I believe, really, that this whole thing is a picture of heaven for us, a conversation in heaven, of heaven, on this earth. And in fact, in John 15, it becomes more like heaven than it really ever had been with Jesus and his disciples, because the one who didn't belong in heaven has gone out. That's Judas Iscariot. He's left. And Jesus had said to him, "What thou doest, do thou quickly." And he would do the nefarious deed of the devil. And he would go and betray the Savior, and the mob would come out and with sticks and clubs and their petty weapons seek to take the Son of Man. Well, but here, Jesus is being very intimate. He's saying to his disciples, the 11 who remain by the grace of God, something they need to hear. Now, we have to enter this conversation. Let's do that, shall we? Hear Jesus speak to us about himself being the vine, and we being the branches, and the great incentive to bear fruit for his praise. So John 15, the vine and the branches. This will be a first of several sermons on this passage, in which we want to focus on the identity of Jesus here, not just the other things that are so important, but focus on that vine. And we shall be blessed as we do that. But now, the vine and the branches, I want to consider just a summary, a kind of a survey of this whole passage here, to whet your appetite and mine, as we would hear the Savior speak in this heavenly discourse of himself, the Christ truth. And I'm doing this all by C's. There's seven of them. Of the connection that's wonderful. We are in Christ as branches in the vine. Then the cultivation that's painful, the pruning that goes on, the casting away of different branches that don't belong in the vine. And then controversy, and asking the question, is this needless? This is a controversial passage, and we'll speak to that presently. But then there's comfort, and we ought to find that here. And maybe there's some who really need this comfort right now. Being in Jesus, even in the midst of distress. And that is a balm of Gilead for us. And then calling. We're called here by the Savior to do something, to be fruitful, to use the means that he gives. And there's an outstanding means that he intimates here, is the means whereby we abide in him. That's prayer. And then finally, a compulsion that's irresistible. We'll see what that is. Children, listen. Young people, listen. Old timers, all of us together in trials of life, of the vine and the branches. Well, when Jesus asked the question to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And now when he reiterates his identity as the Messiah and says he's the vine and you are the branches, he's focusing on himself. Now, of anyone else, you would think, "Well, that's awful cocky. That's pride of you to say, 'Who do you say that I am?' And you're wanting to get praised or something like that. And how dare you say I'm the vine and you are the branches, as if you're everyone else's life depended on you." Is that cocky of Jesus? Of course not. That's just Jesus being Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, declaring to himself the divine right of all the attention. God deserves all the attention, doesn't he? Sundays and every day of the week and all the time. And so the Christ truth is front and center here. And in a marvelous way, in what has been called the last of the seven great I am statements. I am the true vine. Are you aware of them? The Gospel of John, inspired by the Spirit, is so inspired, especially to bring forth for God's people the identity of Jesus as the Son of God. God with us. That's the canonical significance of the Gospel according to John. These things are written, great miracles are attributed to the Messiah in John, then of which there's no discussion in the other Gospels. But in John, there's these things that are all brought together so that we may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, for the first time or ongoing, all of our pilgrimage. Jesus is the I am. That's what he means. He's alluding to this when he says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. I am, he's saying. I am. Now we know that this is the divine name of the Old Testament, the name that God gave to Moses when he was visiting Israel in Egypt and saying, my name is I am. And when Moses said, what is your name? He said, here, you tell the people, I am that I am. Yahweh. Usher Yahweh. I am that I am, he said, indicating that he's the eternal God who hasn't changed. Even though Israel has changed, even though Israel is fickle, even though Israel is not worthy of the attention of God, God is. And he would show himself to be that faithful God, the ever-blessed Spirit God, the eternal God, with a name, the verb to be, I am that I am. The truth, the way, the life, the source of all being is the I am. Ever think of that? And the source of salvation, I am. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Before Abraham was, I am. All in John. And now here, John 15. I am the true vine. He's drawing the disciples' attention on that very dark night. And everybody else seems to be the ones who are in power and in control. He says, I am. I am. I am God with you. God with you. You see that? That's the essence of the Christian faith. Not partially God, really God. I am God. I am the eternal God. Emmanuel, that's the name given to me. God with us. Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. His name, Wonderful I Am, Jehovah Salvation. Well, we've seen last time that also Peter had discovered that, and the disciples too, that Jesus is the Son of Man. And that's indicated by the fact that Jesus is the I Am as a true vine. Where are vines coming from? They come from the earth. He's reminding them of the fact that he comes from the earth like them. He's a son of man. He's a son of God. He's I am, but he's a true vine on the earth, planted in this human humanity of ours, in this sinful humanity, himself without sin. What an I am we have, who became a vine, a tendril, something whose existence, as it were, I speak as a man, depended on the earth and the nutrients of the earth and mama's breast. The Son of Man, a vine. But again, what Jesus is speaking of here is of himself as the I am and as a true vine who's very special. He's the Messiah, I am vine, Savior, who is and must be God to save sinners, and who is and must be perfect man to substitute for sinners. That's how the Catechism describes the perfect Messiah. The only way out of this mess of sin, if you're human, and if you're a sinner, and if you're a sinful human, bad combination, you need the good combination. God, in the person of the Son, united with humanity to save his people. And that's who Jesus is. That's the catechism lesson of the Messiah. Who do you say that I am? And now Jesus reveals that answer in this way. I am the true vine. You got to know that. You got to know that. The true vine too. Note here. The true vine, not just a vine, but the true vine. Maybe indicating that he's the one who is the original vine. Take away your thoughts from anything of the earth that might give pleasure and sustenance. Now think of the true vine. Take away your thoughts from all the things of the earth from which you might derive your existence, and you do. I'm the true vine. Maybe he's thinking of that. aspect of himself in distinction from all things. But I think, especially, Jesus is dissociating himself from that which had been appointed to be the vine of the people of God. You know what that was? That was Israel. Israel was the vine of God, the people from whom salvation would come, to whom nations would go for their sustenance and joy. Israel, Jerusalem, the joy of the whole earth, because Israel had been appointed the vine, the source of life for the nations, to come to which was to come to God. Well, Jesus says he's the true vine. What is he meaning here? What is he meaning? Well, what he's meaning is that Israel has failed. Israel cannot be the true vine. Not only is she incapable in herself, she's just human. She's just a group of human beings, a human institution, the Old Testament Church of God, but also because Israel had failed in her sins to be a vine. She was calling people to herself, and the Pharisees of the day, the religious cream of the crop, were calling people to be religious and to follow their way, but not Jesus the way. Calling people and to seeking to perpetuate themselves by making disciples of themselves and crossing land and sea for this great event and with this great motivation. We will get numbers. We will be those who can clone ourselves and perpetuate an institution and our commandments and our reputation. Jesus says, no. It's not about you and you or yours and you and your institutions. They cannot save and they are corrupt. It's about me being the true vine. Now, in several places in the Old Testament, I'll just visit a few of them with you just to remind you that Israel is said to be the true vine or the vine. Notice Isaiah chapter 5. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared it out, its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst and also made a vine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. That's Israel. For Isaiah says in chapter 5, verse 7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. That was the fake, the corrupt vine. Psalm 80, of which we sung, also brings this out. Restore us, Psalm 80, verse 7, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. That's the people of God. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, the mighty cedars with its boughs. And she sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The root bore out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beasts of the field devours it. Well, Jesus is telling the people why God has done that is because Israel had sinned. They were not the true source of life for the people of God. They were a means to lead them to God, but they had corrupted themselves and God's people. Jesus says, but I am the true vine. And he says that to us today. I am the true vine, the true source of your strength, your life. Everything you need to grow and to be prosperous in connection with the living God. So that's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus is pointing his disciples to in this night in which he was betrayed, and in which it seems that the world is going to get all the attention as the manipulator of this fake quack rabbi Jesus. Jesus there in calm control speaks of heavenly things And I think he even brings heaven down and the people, the disciples, up to hear him. And says, I'm the true. I'm the original. I'm the only one in whom there's life and salvation. The vine of God. Jesus himself reminds the disciples there that he is indeed divine and he is of God when he speaks of his Father being the vine dresser, of which we'll speak presently and in sermons to come. And no doubt this would empower the disciples in their believing these words of the Messiah when Jesus says, it's not just me on my own as a vine, but I'm on behalf of my Father in heaven. But now, let's quickly go to this connection, which is wonderful. We've spoken of the Christ truth. He is the vine. He's Yahweh. He's Jehovah. He's the man of the Son of Man. He's the Messiah, the true vine. Now this connection. Jesus is speaking here of himself, the true vine, his Father, the vine dresser, and the branches. In verse 5, he speaks of the branches of as the disciples. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, people of God, I want to try to impress upon you in my own feeble way just how wonderful is this reality. You think of a vine or any kind of tree that bears fruit and its branches. Now, the branches come out of the vine, don't they? And there's a very close connection. In fact, so much so that in an earthly way, sense, we'd say that the life of both depends upon both. The life of the vine cannot continue on without the branches, and the life of the branches cannot, of course, continue on without the vine. But Jesus is speaking parabolically here of himself being the one on whom those branches depend. He certainly doesn't depend on the branches, but they depend on him. And it's all because of this connection. Now that's what we want to get at here. We're talking about truths, systematic theology, reformed faith, and pretty soon we're going to even expound the apostolic faith of our fathers, the faith, the object of what we believe, and so on. We don't want to go too far, too fast, without reminding ourselves that there is and must be this connection, not only between ourselves and truth so that we understand it, but this vital, personal, living relationship of the one whom we confess, and with the one whom we confess. So Jesus is leading us in this heavenly discussion and the disciples never to forget what he said to them now, so that when he dies, they know what they have if they have Jesus at all. They know what they have with the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They have Jesus himself. I'm the vine. You're the branches. And just as they're so together, vine and branches, and all the sap of the vine goes into the branches and bears the fruit that is somehow ingrained in that DNA or whatever you call it of the vine, so our connection with Jesus. It's a living thing. Understand that, children, don't you? That being a Christian is not just being connected to a catechism or a creed or even to your parents. Even though you're very closely connected by blood to them. But being a Christian is being joined to Jesus. It's amazing. He comes to give us his own life. That's the idea here. So no wonder Paul could say, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ in me. If he had any life at all, it was from the sap, it was from the vine, it was from the Savior, it was from the life giver who is my life, not just a part of it. Not that. You never find that on a tree, you know. That a part of the branches of the tree are connected to something else and enjoying something else or some other source of life than the vine or the trunk. But it's all dependent upon the vine or the trunk. So this is what Jesus is saying here. And every branch in me abides in me and must abide in me and bear fruit in me. Now this is the greatest thing of Jesus, of this Jesus is speaking. He's saying, this is it. You're in me this way, in a living way, an intimate way, in a fruitful way, in a virtuous way. This is what happens. Let's not say very humbly we think and piously, oh, I don't bear any good fruit and I'm not much like you. Hold it a second here. Jesus is saying something that is. We need more of that in the Church of Christ. Statements of what is, indicative statements, and simply do that, and simply not merely this, do this and do that, and this is imperative that you do this. No, first of all, what's the facts? What is? Well, we said, first of all, Jesus is, He is the I Am. Here's another is. If you be His, you're in Him. You're in Him. Amazing. You're in Him. And His life is in you. And they'll say, oh, no, it can't be. What is, if you're His, the first sense of believing is really getting a hold of that. And then showing that off. That off. Not you off. Him off in you. Virtues, powers. Without me, you can do nothing. But another place, he says to the Apostle Paul, in Christ I can do everything because He strengthens me. Is that what you need to hear today? This is just about where I have to leave off this morning. This connection. Is that what you need to hear today? I think it might be. You're in Christ, in Him. And it's not said in this text how this connection's made, not directly. But I'll point out to you at least two things, how this is made. How do we get into Christ in a living and vital way? How do we do that? And how do we do that so that we're not just dead wood, of which Jesus is going to speak right away here, and we'll see that next time. There's dead wood. He cuts it off. But how are you, if you be Christ, in Christ really? The answer is not far to see in the text. Verse 16, for example, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. The sovereign election of God and the Savior. That's what we believe here, isn't it? The sovereign grace of God. Why are you in the vine? Really in the vine. Not just in church. Not just in a suit of clothes. Because Christ chose you to be in the vine. And Christ graced you with His kingly sovereign grace to be His own. That's why you're in the world, yes. And Jesus will even soon pray to the Father, John 17, leave them in the world. And that's not mean of the Savior. But it's so that we can prove that though we're in the world, being in Jesus in the world is the most important thing. Is that what we're all about? Showing off that sovereign grace of God, that means then that we really believe. That we really believe. See, that's how God makes the grace connection, joins us into the vine, by giving us this thing called faith, which engrafts us into the vine. That's our precious Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7. What's true faith? That by which we're engrafted. There's the figure, the metaphor of the vine and the branches. Joined to Christ. So before you talk about believing, before you talk about knowing, before you talk about this consciousness, this assurance of faith, and doing mighty things for God, remember, He's done a mighty thing to you. He's done a mighty thing to me by the grace of God.
Here I was in the world. Here I was in the pit. Here I was in sin. Here I was in Adam and in connection with a fallen race. But by the grace of God, He said, I choose you. You are mine and I plant you. I give you faith. You live because I live. And I'm the perfect vine, Jesus says, the true vine of the Father. And all who are in me, I will keep to the end. Be comforted, dear ones. And all who are listening, believe. That's how we understand these things. On our knees, believing. In all of life, trusting. The vine as His branches, and bearing fruit to His praise. Amen. Heavenly Father, thanks for showing the truth of Your Son once again. The vine. The I Am vine. God with us. Thanks, Lord. And being engrafted into Him, we can know You, His Father and ours, for Jesus' sake. We can go and bear fruit. Lord, what a great reality, though. We meditate upon this heavenly discourse of our Savior to His disciples, and now we can see it's for us too. The night He was betrayed is a night for all of us to reflect upon, as Him now speaking to us in the night of our distress in these dire times, when all in this godless world are going after all that can satisfy the flesh. Thanks, Lord, for leading us to Jesus. And we pray as we go our way now that we may linger and speak to one another of these things in the congregation of the saints, and then come back to Your house tonight to know what it is to grow in grace, to grow in that connection, and to be Your people faithful in all the world, world without end. For Christ's sake, amen.